I'm writing this 15 days after returning from Santa Cruz, Bolivia, where I lived and worked at Samuelito Daycare. Honestly, using this opportunity to start the processing of these past 8 months, all the experiences, the memories, the rapid goodbyes, what it all means. And then quickly, a few days ago, trying to make this all flow from just my jumbled thoughts to something I can read that may make at least a little bit of sense. My time in Bolivia was just my personal story, with each person having a different experience. My story is just one vantage point, one short little excerpt, and one experience, and in no way encompasses the vast diversity and beauty of Bolivia and all that the country has to offer. Initially, I was asked to ponder what sustains us or gives us hope. I immediately thought of my Bolivian mama, who we called Mamusine, who for sure would answer, without hesitation, carne, meat in Spanish, a staple in her diet and traditional Bolivian dishes. Now, while that is a more literal interpretation of sustaining, in a culture where they hold so much pride in their food, it can be expected. However, the reality is this carne is really what is sustaining many families and individuals, as some worry about food or providing for families during this time of unknown and without work. For some, it has become a privilege to be able to continue buying their beloved carne, as people all over the world experience new struggles in work and meals and health. Going to the market with my mom was one of my favorite activities. We lived about an hour from the city in a little neighborhood called Barrio Recreo. It was a daily task, following breakfast to acquire ingredients for our lunches, walking through the blistering sun to the market a few streets down. My mom was proud of her cooking, claiming anything she cooked was going to be amazing. Throughout those 8 months, that statement claimed to be true, minus the 2 times during the paro when markets ran out of meat faster and we began eating just about every part of the animal, which meant it was time for lunches of liver and kidney. Not my personal favorite. Beginning in October, we went into a paro cívico indefinido, which is an indefinite civic stop, following the presidential election in the people's attempt to force Evo to renounce from presidency, which they successfully achieved. While this time was a bit different than our current quarantine situation, staying home for reasons of safety, it was my first glimpse into this quarantine life. We spent 21 days together at home, leaving only to the market in the mornings. We lived simply, not knowing when El Paro would lift, only buying the essentials as the nearest ATM was 2 hours away by bike. One memory I will never forget is waking up at 5 a.m. to make the 2-hour journey to the ATM before any blockade started. Talk about an adrenaline rush. It was an unusual time for all Bolivians, with the news claiming that a people's protest to this extent had never been experienced before in their lifetime. As El Paro continued far longer than anybody expected, fruits and veggies slowly began leaking from our diet as prices increased, changing to a bread, rice, and meat-heavy diet. Gratitude for previously unappreciated resources grew. Meat, rice, bread, news, naps, and conversation sustained us for those 21 days. And sometimes we had to give up our beloved carne. Living farther from the city, we lived without Wi-Fi, meaning some days consisted of staring at my wood-boarded roof under my mosquito net, tears streaming down my face. Other days were spent under the mango tree, chatting or playing volleyball in the courtyard. Times were not easy, but together in community we got through. We helped sustain one another. As I reflect on El Paro, I'm continually reminded of the importance of living mindfully, and giving gratitude for the cups of coffee, ease of ATM access, food availability, family in good company, safety, and freedom to explore previously less appreciated moments and things. And as I'm sure some of us can relate to now, that loss of freedom to explore, socialize, do some activities that sustain us and bring us joy. I will call my host family occasionally to check in on how they're holding up, how they're staying busy during this quarantine. But I will never hear any mention of complaints, except for the heat. within a 4-month time period, Bolivia has been hit with 2 long periods of quarantine, without work, without pay, without easy access to some resources. My host mom will not mention their struggles, but will rather share how they were currently sitting under the mango tree, hiding from the sun, sipping on her tereré, or talk about how she is sewing a new bag from her old jeans, or will ask how I'm doing. She doesn't harp on the difficulties of her situation, but focuses her attention on her successes. So what sustains us? Love. Connection. We see signs of hope as we sit under the mango tree, as we observe beauty, promise of fruit, promise of growth, promise that it will produce that sweet, delicious fruit. We can see hope with our joys that arise with our little successes. Learning to finally make rice, learning to say horrible correctly. Little successes. We can find hope in our social distancing phone calls, feeling warmth and joy in hearing the voices of those we love. Human connection from afar, yet still finding ways to connect and love. We sustain through love. Love that allows us to pour passion into things we do. Love that can help us take it easy on ourselves and forgive. Love that allows human connection and sitting under mango trees in one another's presence, soaking in others' energy. Love, joys, tears, hardship, the sacred, the little things. As humans, we have the ability to see the beauty in things, in life, in those around us, in nature. That ability to see this beauty around us is a spectacular thing, appreciating the natural wonders that we can encounter daily. This joy of encountering the beauty of the world, or beauty of laughs, beauty of nature, beauty of reading, beauty of passions, or beauty of naps and just being, doing nothing, can sustain us. During a time like this, when having enough food or knowing of when we will be able to work again can cloud our mind, seeing that beauty can become a privilege, a difficulty. One afternoon specifically pops my mind as me and my Bolivian mom were sitting outside chatting, most likely on a 95-degree day, but still drinking our cafecitos, sweat running down our faces and body. I recall she turned to me as we were chatting about our adventures during El Paro, some days stressful not knowing how it will all turn out. She says something to the extent of acknowledging that life has had its challenges thrown at her. But nonetheless, she claimed she is so privileged. She has all of these fruit trees in her front yard and her beautiful daughters just down the street from her. Times that take us from our routine and our daily reality can be difficult. They can also be necessary to reflect and grow as individuals. We are all affected by this virus, disappointed in the effects, both directly as individuals are getting sick, and indirectly with plans being changed, vacations, sports, graduations, daily routines, etc. And all of our feelings are valid, and frustrations are completely understandable. As I heard in a podcast, David Kessler, a grief expert, says, "The worst loss is always your loss." At the same time, it is important to remember those who are being hit hard with this change, maybe relying on the money they made through market sales the day before to put food on the table for their kids, or kids who have to fend for themselves as their parents must continue working, or many other situations that make this pandemic more than just a fear of catching an illness, but a fear of getting by, a fear of having enough food, losing that beloved carne. We have all been affected by this pandemic in varying degrees, and there will always be someone in a worse situation than ours, which does not belittle or invalidate our own feelings or emotions. From my blog post, 6 months in my time in Bolivia, I wrote, "It took me more than 6 months to create a pretty consistent daily routine, becoming more adjusted and accustomed to how my life would look here in Bolivia. At the daycare, in the city, at home. In those 6 months, some of the time was occupied in the Paro Cívico, which included 21 days without working, and then a month of going straight to work, and then straight home, always feeling safe, but needing to take precautions that were put in place by MCC. Now that I have my consistent routine and have become comfortable and at peace in this city, I feel at home, What used to be stepping out of my comfort zone has become my comfort zone. What used to be an intimidating future has become my calming routine. It was a year of trying new things like CrossFit with my friends from work, memorizing bus routes, working with two-year-olds and trying to keep them from falling asleep on top of their soup, or learning to make kunyape, trips to local art museums, face painting on kids, all of these things becoming a calming, hopeful routine. It can take time to become accustomed, for some a few weeks, or others 6 months, or even years. My time in Bolivia was so healing for me, a discovery period for myself, but also broadening my perspective. It helped me discover what sustains me and what gives me a gift of hope. Provecho, sound of vendors in the early morning, the smell of fresh pan, fresh fruit juice, learning Spanish, hugs from kids, cafecitos, micro rides to work, buenos dias, the strong sun, mosquito nets, bustling city, afternoon naps, communal empanada making, watching telenovelas, doors always opened. Those things brought me joy. They are some of the beautiful parts of Bolivia that sustained me. This pandemic is affecting us all. We all have something we are missing. But we also are all going through this together, being affected at varying degrees, but coming from a culture where community and taking a village is so evident, I truly believe that together through connection and caring for one another, we can get through. We can sustain. Through phone calls and hope and love, we can get through and sustain. Through chats under maple trees, since we don't have any mango trees around, and cups of beloved coffee or tea, we can get through. We can sustain. Through gratitude, we can get through. We can sustain. Through some days of doing nothing and staring at walls, we can get through. We can sustain. Together, we can get through. We can sustain. We don't know what is next, and it's difficult to plan. This pandemic has forced some of us to slow down. And as my host family would always tell me after I asked what our plans were for the weekend, after a few laughs, thinking that question was absolutely ridiculous, they would tell me that they will just see what the weekend brings. We don't always need to be productive. And I experienced this new normal that I fell in love with and appreciated. A lifestyle that was more appreciative of the long lunches, or tecito breaks, or afternoon naps, or just going with the flow. So today, at the beginning of starting anew in the United States, after 15 days, in a current state of unknown for us all, I sit in tears. I sit in humility. With new insights, new perspectives, new appreciations alongside of what sustains me, loving connections, sacred moments, and a welcoming, heartwarming community.